Support for Politics and Public Policy reporting on SDPB is made possible by SDN Communications, your business broadband provider. Learn more at sdncommunications.com.
Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. 1 week from today, voters should know the winners of the primary races in South Dakota. Last night on SDPB-TV, GOP gubernatorial hopefuls Kristi Noem and Marty Jackley squared off in a televised debate. Joining us now for analysis of the campaign and the race are Dakota political junkies Roger Whittle. He's managing editor of the Watertown Public Opinion, and Jonathan Ellis, reporter and columnist for the Argus Leader. Roger, welcome. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Jonathan, thanks for being here as well.
Hi, Lori.
All right, it's the race to the finish, and let's start with, I want to talk about some debates that have been happening, but let's start with the polling numbers, because, Jonathan, a new poll commissioned by the Argus Leader and Calo TV shows these guys are neck and neck.
Yeah, they are. I mean, the polling that we have show that the race is within the margin of error. So really, it's going to be about the last few days. I mean, we have obviously the numbers for those who haven't seen them. We had Kristi, 45% were supporting Kristi Noem, and 44% Marty Jackley, with 11% undecided. So obviously, that's a very tight race. And I think at the end, it's going to be, you know, the final impressions that the candidates are able to make in debates like the ones that you guys hosted at South Dakota Public Broadcasting last night, and we have one coming up later this week. Those final impressions, the final impressions that ads will leave, it's gotten negative in somewhat in the last few days. And then really the get-out-the-vote efforts that both campaigns have will probably determine who emerges as the GOP nominee next Tuesday.
Mm. So some maybe not so big surprises when you dig down into that poll, which would say that, you know, Kristi Noem's doing very well in the region that she's from. Marty Jackley is doing better in the West River than Kristi Noem is. Roger, when you look at, no surprise, we all knew it was a close race in some ways.
All along we've known it was going to be close. And what you said about digging deep into the numbers is something I love to do. And interesting that, yes, Kristi Noem is from northeastern South Dakota, but during her congressional campaigns, it was always the West River that supported Kristi as much or more than her home area did. And now that she's actually running against a West River person, you know, that advantage is kind of going away. I like the division between men and women. Shows again how close it is. 48 to 41 men are supporting Jackley, 48 to 41 women are supporting Kristi, and the same 11% undecided as in the overall. I thought that was very interesting.
Right. Jonathan, so that voter turnout really matters then, because gender matters in this race. Geography matters.
Gender and geography matter, correct. It'll be interesting to see the campaign managers, what kind of get-out-the-vote system they have. I mean, some of this stuff gets very highly sophisticated now, and so it all could just come down to that effort. The voters that they've identified as their supporters, and then making sure that they are actually turning out to the polls on Tuesday.
Let's talk about some of those final impressions in the South Dakota Public Broadcasting TV debate. They kind of went after each other, I thought. Did either of you get to watch or listen or read the transcript to last night's conversation? Jonathan, were you able to?
Yeah, I watched it this morning, actually. In the tradition, we are in the NBA basketball playoffs, I would say that both of these candidates took it to the rim a few times aggressively. That means being aggressive. They were aggressive. They went after each other a few times. You have Marty Jackley's trying to link her with, and our polling shows that Washington is terribly unpopular, so trying to link her with you know, policies or failures perhaps from Washington. And on the other hand, you had her repeatedly calling him a government attorney. So, you know, clearly they've done some polling and they know what message resonates with voters. And so it went a little negative, and it was chippy in that debate last night. I think it's kind of interesting. I take the takeaway from me is that sometimes it seems like the candidates get a little bit too in the weeds about state government, and probably their message is lost on sort of a broader voter base. When you're talking about, you know, boards and commissions, or what the Attorney General's office did or didn't do here on something, or this Wayfair case, a lot of that, in my opinion, is probably lost on a lot of voters to inside baseball. But they were able to articulate, one of the questions was, they were able to articulate, you know, what does it mean to you to be a Republican? And that's the kind of message that I think for a lot of Republican primary voters, that's kind of what they want to hear about. So I think both of them performed well in the debate last night.
Right. Jonathan, though, when they talked about, you know, and maybe it's partially that, you know, SDPB audience too, which is, you know, we like a little inside paper. No, we like to get in the weeds a little bit. And when they talked about what it means to be Republican, they were almost identical as far as what they were saying. And then they started, you know, sort of going back and forth about, you know, maybe who had a better record for their pro-life, you know, views. But overall, they were almost the same when they talked about what it means to be a Republican.
They were, and they've been at times before they really started going negative. They were at times, you know, you'd hear people saying, "Well, I can't really see a lot of sunlight between the two of them," and so then that becomes down to, well, who do you like better? Again, as trying to appeal to voters, who do you like better personally? Who do you trust more? Who do you think has the better experience? It comes down to those issues. That's, you know, those final impressions about how those candidates interact with each other, and, you know, how they come off as being likable, I think, are going to be pretty important on Tuesdays when voters go to the poll on Tuesday.
Yeah. Roger, what would you add to that about these final days and these impressions in a debate?
Well, I think everything Jonathan said was right on. South Dakota voters traditionally have voted for the candidates, you know, that they like the best, that appeal to them the best. I read the transcript to the debate today, and it was just so funny that every question, Kristi Noem would use the word government lawyer, and every question Marty Jackley would use the word Washington or Congress. The closeness between the candidates, of course, it's reflected in the polls, and I think the problem now is how negative do these guys go in the last few days of the election, because that just might turn off a lot of people and backfire on them if they try to go too negative at this point.
Roger, I saw two television ads back-to-back once I switched over to some commercial TV specifically to sort of see what the ads were. And it was Marty Jackley and his kids saying, you know, "Hey, we apologize for that flannel shirt that looks like a tablecloth. We can't, you know, we can't fix our dad's fashion sense, but he's going to be a great governor." And then it was followed by, you know, a pretty negative ad slamming Marty Jackley for, you know, being attached to different scandals throughout the state. So, Roger, I mean, what does work in the final weeks? The positivity that I saw in one ad or the negativity that I saw in the other? What did those general voters listen to?
Well, I'll be able to answer that question next Wednesday if you ask me. But, you know, in general, I think both of these candidates are likable. I mean, people like Kristi Noem, people like Marty Jackley. It's gonna be a lot of tiptoeing, I think, going on at the end. Like I say, just how negative to go or how positive to go at this point. And you know, they have very sophisticated campaign coordinators who crunch all the numbers over and over again. So I've said ever since these two first announced, I thought this is going to be a fun campaign to watch. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a fun election to watch, and I think we're seeing that now.
Jonathan, are they taking any shots with one another that will, past primary time, really help Billy Sutton? Because he talked about likability, and he was on In the Moment yesterday, and, you know, sort of flash-forwarding, you know, to what a debate with Billy Sutton and one of these two looks like, and it feels like, well, that would be an entirely different debate.
Well, I think that Billy Sutton will use, depending on who the GOP nominee is, I mean, they both have, as the campaigns have shown, they both have areas that an opponent can exploit. I would not be surprised, again, if Marty Jackley's a nominee, to hear Billy Sutton maybe talk about the rise in crime, some things that, you know, if Kristi Noem's a nominee, you know, I would fully anticipate Billy Sutton trying to chain the Washington dysfunction to her. So I would expect to hear some of this stuff again coming up in the general election.
In these polls, also, there was a question about South Dakotan's support of President Trump. And I think it was, what, 72%, Jonathan? It was very favorable among the Republicans polled. She probably did, I don't know, who do you think did a better job of really making that connection between, at one point, Kristi Noem said, President Trump wants to make South Dakota an example of economic growth in the country, and she was the person who could work with him the most closely. Do you think that's a positive thing for them both to sort of reach out and connect themselves to the president?
Yeah, undoubtedly. Their internal polling has shown that President Trump is favorable here. Our polling shows the same thing. I mean, you've seen when Marty Jackley was in Washington earlier this spring, he tweeted out a picture of him standing next to the president. They both tried to tell Republican voters that they're in line with the president, because the fact is the president is very popular among South Dakota Republicans. And so you heard that repeatedly from Kristi Noem last night about how she's worked with the president on various legislative efforts. And so not surprising at all. And that, you know, I think that I guess I would probably give the edge to Kristi Noem in that particular area, because, you know, being in Washington, she probably has worked more closely on a couple of issues with the president, especially on tax reform.
And Roger, on the other hand, there were several things that maybe Marty gained some traction on, saying, you know, the farm bill, you know, we don't have one yet. And he sort of pointed out a lot of things that Washington hasn't been able to do and solve. Do you think he got listeners' attention with that?
Oh, I think so. I think that's something we expected all along, that when Congress has the approval rating that they have, and Kristi Noem is a member of Congress, that's something you have to emphasize. But getting back to this Trump thing, 72% approval rating—that's among Republican, likely
right.
Republican voters. And
right.
I think if you include all voters in there, it probably drops it down to 71%, maybe. So it won't be as effective in the general election.
Let's talk a little bit about the other race. And this is, you know, Dusty Johnson, Chantel Krebs, Neil Tapio, and Roger, you mentioned, you know, Donald Trump. Well, Neil Tapio makes that connect. All those candidates make a connection, you know, in some ways. But Neil Tapio worked on their campaign. We're seeing a lot of the battling back and forth between Krebs and Johnson. Roger, what are your thoughts about where Neil Tapio sits with voters right now?
It's hard to say. I haven't seen any polls. Of course, up in this part of the country, you see a lot of signage out on people's yards supporting the senator. And, you know, I think he's probably going to do better than a lot of people thought he would a couple months ago when he was first came out with the issues he was having at the end of the legislative session.
Right.
But I think he surprised a lot of people. And he's that kind of guy. I mean, you sit down and talk with Neil Tapio, and it'll be a good conversation. You'll walk away with a different opinion of him than you had before.
Right.
I would love to see some poll numbers on how that race is going.
Yeah. Jonathan, have you seen anything?
It's sitting on my desk right now. It'll be live at 1 o'clock.
Oh, 40 minutes
Sorry.
Early. Okay, go online to argusleader.com.
Give us a hint. Come on.
There will be polling numbers in this race available at argusleader.com at
right.
1 p.m.
Is
yeah.
it interesting?
I always think this stuff is interesting. I mean, yeah.
I'm trying to help him tip his hand a little bit, Roger. I got to think of something to get into.
Hey, well, one thing I want, you know, looking at the numbers, if we have a moment, you know, how we talk about how Washington is always not popular. That's been that way for decades. I
right.
mean, I know it's
yeah.
very low now, but it's been that way for decades. It's funny when you think about you know, Kristi Noem's favorable rating in our poll is still very high among Republicans, and
right,
so it's
yeah.
one of the it's that same thing where, well, we don't like those SOBs in Congress, but we like ours. You know, we like our person.
All right, so we sent someone good. Yeah,
I think the numbers reflect that.
So, Jonathan, let me ask you this, and now I almost wish I didn't know there were polling numbers sitting in front of your desk, because it might taint your answer here. But during the debate again with the three House candidates. from the Republican Party. It seemed to me that as we went back through that transcript here at South Dakota Public Broadcasting, we were doing some fact-checking. And Chantel Krebs, you know, there wasn't a lot of fact-checking to do because she didn't bring a lot of facts to the conversation, but she really hit those high points on conservative value. Like what you were saying, she was speaking to the general voter, and Dusty Johnson was more specific, and Neil Tapio probably had the most facts, although most of them were partially correct. So do you think that that helped, that she's kind of figured out, like, this is the way to reach voters, is to speak about those general conservative principles again and again and again? And, you know, Dusty tends to go down to more specifics about what he's going to do. But, you know, does he lose those general voters when he does that, or does he gain?
Well, let me use an example, and this isn't a GOP primary, but in 2010 when Kristi Noem beat Stephanie Hearst at Sandlin, she did much of what Chantel did, which was just kind of stick to Republican talking points and Republican themes, general Republican themes about debt and those kinds of things, national debt and health care and things like that. And it succeeded for her there. Now, that was obviously a Republican against a Democrat. I don't know, in a Republican versus Republican, you know, the three-way race like this, if you get as much traction there. I mean, if Dusty comes off as the more, you know, he can speak about broadly, you know, Republican themes and also get into specifics, maybe,
right,
maybe voters find that more appealable, you know.
Right. Roger, what are your thoughts on that, on sort of Dusty and Chantel? And then Neil, you know, like you said, you know, he brings a lot to the table, but when you look at some of those facts, they're not all, you know, exactly interpreted the way that some of them are wrong. I'll just say it. Some of them are inaccurate or partially correct. Yeah. Let me just say that. Yeah.
you know, another good race. This is, both of these races are going to be very interesting. You get two likable people with a lot of name recognition, a lot of experience, and it's just going to come down to who's going to get out and vote for them.
Yeah. Roger, do you have a sense, when we talked a little bit about the gender, you know, 48% of women, you know, are likely to vote Republicans, like Kristi, 48% of men, you know, were thinking Marty was the way to go. Are there things that you think that those two candidates can do to misstep at this point, like that would be based on gender as far as attacking each other? Does gender matter in how those candidates are evaluated in this final week?
Well, yeah, I think that all voters, you know, are gonna look at that. As far as missteps at this point, you know, I can't imagine that there would be any such horrible missteps that it would affect the election at this point. These people are too well groomed by their campaigns to do anything, you know, silly at this point.
Right. Jonathan, your thoughts on that? But as far as, you know, I'm thinking back too to the debate for the congressional candidates, and at the very end of the SDPB TV debate, Chantel Krebs had her closing statement, so she got the last word, and she used it to just really rip into Dusty Johnson. And the people I talked to, some of them were like, you know, hey, she used a strategic advantage because she was the last person to talk. I thought Kristi Noem did a similar thing to Marty Jackley last night. And then other people were saying, oh, you know, sometimes women should, you know, people don't like it when women get too attacky. And I thought, oh, is there a gender thing at play here? What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm maybe not the best person to answer that question. I mean, South Dakota has now had a woman as one of the top elected officials for well over a decade now. So is there, I don't know. It's, you know, I think that you're correct in terms of a debate strategy. If you've got the last word in there, you know, there's not going to be a rebuttal to go
right
ahead and maybe go for it. I don't think that that's, you know, I mean, I think that anybody would do that if in the right circumstances. So I don't know about the gender thing there or not.
People were still tweeting about her hair last night. I mean, I was on Twitter tweeting the debate from SDPB, and Corey Heidelberger said her hair looks different.
Okay, so I mean, how many of those are Democrats, though? I mean,
people still talk about her hair and her earrings.
Democrats talk about her hair and earrings. Those are the people I hear talking about them.
Okay, I'm going to have to pay attention to that. I'll give you that one, because it just seems to me that every time she comes on, somebody says something about how she looks, and I don't understand that. It sort of frustrates me.
Okay.
But maybe it's just Democrats, so I'm going to pay attention to that next time and find out. I'll be asking people.
Dusty's got a nice head of hair, too.
Yeah, right.
He does, right?
And so does Neil.
That's right. This
That's
is a
right.
good.
Oh, Neil.
These are some candidates with some seriously good hair. Billy Sutton's got some nice hair there.
That's right.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Oh goodness. All right. What else?
I'm just gonna say about that hair thing. I mean, seriously, since 2010, since Kristi Noem won, there have been Democrats who are just upset that she won, and probably some of them didn't vote for Stephanie Hirsa-Salem. And maybe they're mad at themselves for that. I mean, Democrats lost that race, and I've been for the last 8 years I've heard Democrats complain about, you know, Kristi Noem's looks or her hair or something like that, and that's just where I hear that critique coming from.
Let's just retire that right now. Jonathan Ellis with the Argus Leader, any final thoughts? 1 o'clock, you can go to argusleader.com and check out those polling numbers for the race against Johnson, Krebs, and Tapia. We look forward to that. Thanks, Jonathan.
Yeah, thank you.
Roger Whittle, thank you so much as well.
My pleasure.